Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today from AT&T Park in San Francisco, we have two guests, Giants broadcaster John Miller and former Giants outfielder, now batting coach for the Boston Red Sox, Chili Davis. Let's start with John Miller. John, San Francisco Giants right now, dealing with injuries, and it seems like every team has to do it, but to lose Hunter Pence, to have Buster Posey right now with this thumb issue, Matt Cain's been out, some significant injuries, Angel Pagan as well. So how does a team deal with that, you think, in the middle of the season?
Well, when you talk about Pence and Posey, you talk about two of the Giants' top power hitters, and then you throw in Pagan, who's a guy who gets on base, who makes things happen. That's three very important bats in the lineup. And then on top of that, you've got Matt Duffy, Joe Panik, neither of whom is swinging the bat well right now. So that is quite a bit to overcome. Now, the Giants are hoping that maybe Duffy and Panik will get it going. Now, tonight with David Price going for the Red Sox, Panik's going to get a day of rest, and Kelby Tomlinson will be in there so that they don't have quite so many left-handed bats in the lineup. So I think right now the Giants are just looking for somebody to step up. When you see the Red Sox, I remember broadcasting Red Sox games years and years and years ago. And Carney Lansford had won the batting title in the American League in 1981, and they came back in 82, and Wade Boggs had made the team. And Wade Boggs was considered sort of a fringe prospect, not a very good defensive third baseman, and a quarter infielder who did not hit for power. Well, Carney Lansford, in June of that year, got injured. So Wade Boggs, he'd only had 26 at-bats the whole time, mostly as a pinch hitter, as a guy who gave Lansford a day off occasionally, things like that. And all of a sudden, he played for a month. And during that month, Wade Boggs hit .430. So when Lansford got back, it wasn't like they were just going to bench Carney Lansford. He was the batting champion. But at the same time, they said, well, Wade Boggs, we got to find a spot for his bat. So Boggs got moved over to first base, and Lansford went back to third. And so that was the beginning of a Hall of Fame career. But the point was, he really wasn't going to get a shot. He was just a left-handed bat off the bench. But when the shot came, he was ready for it, and he made the most of it. So right now, there are opportunities here for guys like Jarrett Parker. In game one with the Red Sox, he hit a home run, second game in a row that he went deep. And also Mack Williamson, who's up. So both of those guys are in the lineup tonight against David Price. Now, that's not an easy task, but at the same time, he doesn't know a whole lot about them. So we'll see. But they've got a little bit of a shot here. Trevor Brown's got a shot with Buster being out for a bit. He did real well at the start of the year. But the Giants are looking for somebody to step up and do something big. Otherwise, the lineup looks pretty thin right now, and it's... If you're Madison Bumgarner, you're going to have to pitch a tremendous game, or any other Giants pitcher, to have a chance to win.
Well, it's funny how that works, how the young guys will take a spot. They'll, jump in there and prove themselves. And when you get closer to the trade deadline, John, people start bringing up names. They start saying Jose Bautista, or maybe, you try to trade for this guy or that guy around Major League Baseball. But how important is it to have the system where you do have some trust, and how much patience do you have to have for guys like Williamson and Parker?
Well, with the Giants, you can go back to last year. They had signed Casey McGee, who'd had a pretty good year in Miami the year before, because they lost Pablo Sandoval. And that's a big bat out of their lineup that was gone. And they just hoped that McGee would come in and do what he had done the year before in Miami. Well, McGee got off to a poor start, and just four or five games in, he got hurt. And he was never really right the rest of the time and never got it going. All he led the league in was grounding into double plays, and that's literally a fact.
Right.
So Matt Duffy, when he came in, there was a few days where McGee had to miss because of that injury, and Duffy hit well. Duffy hit well in a pinch hit role, and on it went. And every time he played, he hit well. And finally they said, what are we doing? This McGee's only hitting 150. He can't run. He looks terrible at third base. Let's give Matt Duffy a chance. And they did, and he just took off. He got red hot, and he won that job, and they released Casey McGee. So there's a recent example of somebody taking advantage of an opportunity. Even Kelby Tomlinson last year, he came up when Joe Panik got hurt late in the season. And he hit over 300 the rest of the year. And he was learning how to play second base at the big league level. He really was, frankly, he was the worst second baseman I'd ever seen at the big league level when he first got here. Could not turn a double play. So he came out extra. He put in the time working with Ron Wotus. And he wasn't maybe a gold glover by the last month of the season, but he was certainly acceptable as a second baseman, could turn the double play. And the main thing was is that he hit really well, and he got better and better the more he played. So here he is on the ball club this year. He's getting the start against David Price because he's the left-hander, and Joe Panik is struggling, and Casey McGee is struggling. Casey McGee looks a little uncomfortably too much like did I say Casey McGee?
Matt Duffy.
Yeah, Matt Duffy.
Looks too much like Casey McGee. Yeah, right.
Matt Duffy looks a little bit too much like Casey McGee at times right now, leading the Giants and grounding into double plays. So still great with the glove, and Matt Duffy still remains one of the best third basemen in the league just because of his glove. If you look at the WAR statistic, he's very high on that list among all third basemen just because of his defensive work. He's that good. And the Giants are a team with Bumgarner, Cueto, and Samardzija at the top of the rotation. And now Matt Cain looks like he's back, and Peavy's pitching a lot better. Defense is a key for this team because their foundation is built on the pitching. And so right now the Giants, they've got a little bit of house money going because they had been so hot and were at the top of the division. So right now, while they're a little bit thin, while Posey and Pence are both out, the Giants still are in very good shape. They're still atop the division, and they have a little bit of a cushion over the Dodgers. That may not last long unless they can find some offense somewhere. But I think at the same time, they are well placed to ride that out as opposed to being, say, already 5 or 6 games behind, and then all this stuff happens to you. So it could be a lot worse.
To finish up, John, the one area of concern, I think, for fans, and it seems like a bullpen, a closer especially, brings about more angst than any other position on a baseball team if he's not going well. And Santiago Casilla, you know, kind of up and down. And in the bullpen, it seems like a lot of mix and match right now. What do you think about the Giants' bullpen?
Well, the closer, and that's Casilla, at the end of the game, the bright lights are on him because you come in, if you don't get it done, you lose the game, or at least you lose a lead.
Right.
And the rest of the Giants' bullpen has not been getting it done on a regular basis at this time. Casilla's, I think, been better than the rest of the bullpen for the most part. Casilla, his numbers are actually very good, except he hasn't given up that many hits, but he's given up 3 home runs already. That's a lot in the small number of innings that he's pitched as a closer. And a couple of those have cost him a save. So he's had 4 blown saves in 17 opportunities. And 4 blown saves, that would be a good season if you had 39 saves or 40 saves for a whole year. That'd be excellent. But in a third of a year, that's too many, way too many. So Casilla, I think, has struggled at the wrong time. And the Giants right now, Osich is struggling and Strickland is struggling. And name a guy, most of them are struggling. The one guy who's not struggling is a guy who was not being counted on when they went to spring training. That's Corey Guerin. He has filled in beautifully for Sergio Romo and has given a pretty good facsimile of Romo, even with that slider, to get some big outs. So he's done well, and right now is the 8th inning guy. But they need Osich to come back and Strickland to find himself. Javier Lopez started the year very slowly, a guy who's been as reliable as anybody has ever been in a bullpen, but he's really struggled. So I think for the Giants, they've had such a strong bullpen for so many years, and they've had those 4 guys that were always at the core of that bullpen. Now Affeldt has retired, Romo's injured, so age may be starting to set in a little bit. We don't know, but they were relying on Osich to be a guy, the logical guy to replace Affeldt, and Strickland to come in, and and be as good as anybody, but a future closer. But right now he's having a hard time getting anybody out either. So and now maybe those are just some growing pains or whatever, but those guys still have, really, I think, to prove themselves in the role that they now occupy, which is in key spots in games that they're leading late.
Hopefully they get it going. John, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the ball game tonight.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
That's Giants broadcaster John Miller. Coming up, we're going to hear from former Giants outfielder and current Boston Red Sox hitting coach Chili Davis. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now let's get to the conversation with former Giants center fielder and current Boston Red Sox hitting coach, Chili Davis. Chili, how much fun are you having with a team that's playing winning baseball, and you got a bunch of hot hitters in your lineup too?
We have some good hitters on the ball club, you know, and it's headed up by a real strong veteran hitter in David Ortiz. You know, the interleague games, unfortunately, they don't get to see him for four at-bats each game in San Francisco this time around. But he anchors our lineup. He anchors our lineup, and everyone knows that. And, you know, everyone plays their role in the lineup. We talked about it in spring training, you know, the table setters, you know, the hero role, you know, and a lot of different things. That I think guys took seriously when we talked about it, and they've come out, you know, and they've played that way. You know, they allow the hero role to show up when it's going to show up. They set the table for each other. They play 90 feet of baseball very well. They're not only good hitters, they're good base runners. They take what they get, and if you give them more, they'll take that too, you know. If you got any dreams, we'll take those too.
Well, since you mentioned Big Poppy, it looks like he's really enjoying himself in his last year. He's been super productive. You wonder, why would a guy like that retire? It might be one of the best seasons ever in a last year for a guy in the major leagues.
Yeah, that's a good question for Big Poppy. You know, I ask him that every day, and at some point I think he's probably going to get tired of me asking that. So last thing I want to do is annoy him, you know. He's swinging the bat well. He is, you know, throughout his career, he's been a really good hitter. He's aged like fine wines, just gotten better and better and better. Learned a lot early in his career, and he's implementing that now. But more importantly with David is such a clutch hitter. You know, he lives and dies for that big moment, and he tends to come through a lot more than he fails in those moments.
How much does it help you as a hitting coach that he's kind of like another coach on the team? I mean, he's been around so long, he knows so much about this game.
He is very helpful. You know, I love having conversations with him because, you know, you don't go to David and say, you need to do this, you need to change this. You know, you talk to him, and he'll tell you what he's doing. He'll tell you what he's doing wrong, and he'll tell you what he needs to do. And then if you have something that you want to inject in there and say, well, maybe try it this way, you know, he's open to that too. So he's a smart individual. He's constantly learning, but he's just a class act.
We'll have more with former Giant, now Boston Red Sox hitting coach Chili Davis, right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access!
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free T-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free T-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Now back to the conversation with Boston Red Sox hitting coach Chili Davis. Jackie Bradley Jr. is having a tremendous season. And last year, you know, he's hitting around 250. What's clicked for him? And he seems like a kid who really has a good head on his shoulders.
Well, you know, last year for Jackie Bradley, he started slow, and that's the reason for the 250. If you followed him from the All-Star break on, he was probably one of the hottest hitters in the game. And I think he found something in himself last year that he held on to, and he's brought it into spring training and brought it into this year. The kid has a knack for just retaining information for a very long periods of time. You wish that every player you work with retained information for the way he did, because it would make my job a lot easier. But he does, and he works hard. He's having a lot of fun this year. I'm happy for him. His teammates are happy for him, and this organization is extremely happy for him.
Plus, he's a tremendous center fielder, and you know about that position, how demanding that can be. What has he worked on to get better at it?
Well, all I can say about his playing center field is he reminds me of one person that I know that I thought was one of the best center fielders ever in the game, and that's Devon White. He reminds me of Devon White out there. Just how he goes after fly balls. He's very fluid. He's never, you know, if he makes great plays. He's got a great arm. He covers a lot of ground. He reminds me of Devon White.
What kind of memories do you have when you come back here to San Francisco? You were a great player earlier in your career with the Giants, you know, especially that 87 team. I know I'll never forget that team. What comes to your mind when you come back here?
I have a lot of great memories about the area. You know, I love the Bay Area. The fans are great. The Giants organization, I love them to death because, you know, it's my first opportunity to play Major League Baseball, play any kind of professional baseball. You know, I never played in this ballpark. I wish I had. I got to play in Candlestick. But I love everything about the area. You know, I lived here for a long time. I love Napa. I love going to Marin County. I love going to Half Moon Bay. You know, I mean, there's just so much to do here. And I made a lot of really good friendships here. And, you know, we've continued them, even though I'm not living in the area anymore. A lot of good friends here. A lot of really good people.
You had some great players on that team in 87 that I was thinking about. You know, Will Clark and Robbie Thompson and those guys, Kevin Mitchell. Some real characters as well. What are your fondest memories of just playing on that team?
Well, great memories all year. Very sad memory in the way we ended the year. You know, we ended up losing Game 7 in St. Louis. I thought we had a better team than the Cardinals did. Definitely a better offensive team. But they had pretty good pitching, and they were a scrappy team. They weren't a powerful team, you know, but they had a lot of speed. That year was special because I was here when we lost 100 games in 85. So being able to get to the playoffs in 87, we came real close in 86. And then watched Houston clinch it with a no-hitter against us. Just made us more determined to get back there again. And we did it in 87. We lost. And then eventually they ended up going back in 89. I was gone, but ended up beating the Cubs and going to the World Series. And then the whole earthquake thing happened. And from there on, you know, they've won three since then. So the organization has worked its way up to becoming one of those championship organizations again.
Well, you have three World Series rings, one with the Twins, two with the Yankees. What do you take from that as you work as a hitting coach, just the winning atmosphere that you've been around?
Well, I've got three, but I always wanted one with the Giants. You know, I did. I mean, starting here, playing here, being homegrown, and I always wanted one of them to be with the Giants. It just never happened, but it's a great experience. You know, you learn a lot from the experience, and hopefully, you know, we get to that point with these young guys. I'll have something to share with them, you know, from what I learned during that time in my career. But, you know, you don't get a chance to get there often. And when you do and win, it makes it everything worthwhile, from spring training to Game 7 of the World Series. And you tend to look back and think about the preparation and the year and what you endured and everything that went on. And it's kind of like, you know, your life flashing before your eyes kind of thing. And, you know, I'm fortunate. I've been to three and I've won three. So, you know, I've been on three winning teams. Hopefully that trend continues.
the last thing, I mean, the one thing I remember about you when you were coming up, here's this switch hitter with power. You don't see that a lot in Major League Baseball. I mean, I think it's a rarity. You know, how much of an advantage was it? When did you start doing it, and what do you tell younger kids that you see? I know you only have one switch hitter on this team, but what do you tell them about trying to maintain that swing?
Well, first of all, you got to know how to hit from one side to be able to do it on both sides. You know, if you want to try it, try it. Work at it. Give it a chance. Work right. Put the time in on both sides. Talk to someone that's done it before. You might be able to get something out of them that'll help. And, you know, I wouldn't have done it if I was going to be two different hitters, slap hitter on one side and with some power on the other side. I think I would have stayed on my power side. But fortunate for me, I was able to hit for power on both sides. There's been some guys since then, you know, the Beltrons, the Bergmans, the Chiras, the Swishers, guys like that, that have come up and have put up some really good numbers from both sides of the plate. But Chipper Jones, I can't forget Chipper Jones. You know, it's not an easy thing to do. I get a lot of, as a coach, I've talked to, Josh Donaldson told me, I can't respect you. You got to hit lefty and righty. You didn't have to see sliders coming at you and running, going away. And I told him, I said, you know what, JD? I had to work my tail off on two sides of the plate.
Right.
So when the one side's clicking, they somehow tend to put me on the other side that's not, you know. So I had to make sure they were both clicking at some point.
Chili, thanks so much for the time. I really enjoyed watching you play as a Giant out here in San Francisco, and wish you the best of luck here with the Red Sox.
Thank you very much. You have a good day.
That's Boston Red Sox hitting coach Chili Davis, former San Francisco Giants outfielder. I want to thank him and John Miller for joining us today at AT&T Park in San Francisco. Coming up later tonight, we'll hear from Kelby Tomlinson of the San Francisco Giants. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.